In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents.
If you feel depressed and if you feel anxious and you feel confused, you know what? Welcome to the club.
Gazpacho, please.
Oh, my God.
What a stupid son of a bitch.
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Sayonara, sucker.
Hello, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Millie Tamaras.
And this is the Betches Sup Podcast. For C-SPAN, he's the group chat to help you process and laugh at the biggest topics in U.S. news and politics.
We're here with Josie Toda, Yasmin Hamadi, and Alicia Pascual Peña. They're actresses and now podcast hosts with the forthcoming release of Dare We Say, a podcast with Crooked Media. We are huge, huge fans of Crooked Media. Me personally, I'm huge, huge fans of... First of all, I love Saved by the Bell. That was like one of my favorite comedies. I was like, it's so smart. It's relevant. Of course, as a Dominicana, Alicia, I was so fucking hyped to see you. I know people that know you from the Bronx, so we'll talk about that later.
Oh,
but
that.
I know. I was just like, I'm so excited to get to know all these girls. I'm really excited, y'all.
I know when I got this pitch and saw it was you three, I was like, I got to send this to Millie and we got to make it happen. Thank you so much for your time. So we want to jump right into it to take all the time that you have. So can you sort of give us very quickly the path that took you to creating this podcast? And, you know, there are a lot of podcasts out there. We're on one now. What do you think is missing from the discourse that you want to add with your conversations on Dare We Say?
I think something that we noticed in the pandemic, we were all living together and it was obviously a very stressful time for everyone. And we were having these like deep, extensive conversations that had a wide range and variety, whether it was like, you know, systems of oppression and things that we are also equally, we feel important to talk about, like plastic surgery craze in the celebrity world, and maybe not as equally important, but as equally easy to speak about for at length of time. And to us, we just didn't think that there was an outlet for young adults, people who were below, you know, 30 years old, to hear a discourse and conversation on these matters that are happening in the world. And to sort of serve as a source that wasn't just an Instagram infographic or like a 10-second, 30-second TikTok where most people our age do get our information.
Yeah.
And I think we were just like, why aren't we, you know, recording our late-night conversations and getting paid for it? Just kidding. but that's sort of where it came from. I don't know if, girls, you want to speak on that, but that was like the beginning of that.
Yeah, Josie, you said it perfectly, but I also feel like Gen Z has a very big reputation. And I feel like my parents always say this, and you know, my parents are immigrants from the Middle East, and they're just like, you guys, sometimes they feel like we're like the missing generation. We're lazy. We get a lot of laziness. We get a lot of living with our parents still. There's no drive. And I'm putting quotation marks here, like the American dream is over and that bullshit. But I just feel like that's just so false, because there's three people right here that really give a shit about the world, that care about the world, and we are the future. I know that sounds cheesy and corny. I'm a Leo, so I'm very cheesy. But it's we want change. We want to make an impact in this world and also have fun while we do it. We're three best friends who talk about everything from the next election, the midterms, that are so important that we need to start voting for, but also like late night text to a guy, like how we're gonna do that, because
totally.
Both of those, I mean, that's just part of our life. Alicia, do you want to add to that too?
I think my sisters articulated our thoughts beautifully, but essentially I just think we wanted a space where we were respected in our fullness. I think that people specifically with our generation really love to compartmentalize and either say like, you guys are the influencers or you guys are the TikTokers or you guys are the like way too far mm-hmm. liberal and super progressive and super peace culture. But it's like, no, and we're not rare in this regard. I would say that most of our generation are people that, yes, are engaging in Instagram and TikTok and all of those things and hookup culture, but also really concerned about the climate crisis and the country in which we're living and the future in which we're cultivating together. And I just think that I'm really thankful that we now have a platform to kind of just elevate the conversations that were already so organically happening in our home. I think that that's something really special about the podcast is that, as cliche as it sounds, it was something like that we were galvanized to do because of other people. Mm-hmm. So we were just having these conversations with three very different women in our own home living together during one of the most interesting times in the world. And people would always just randomly say like, oh, I like really learned by that convo y'all were having. Or, you know, we were at dinner with you guys and that was fruitful. And mind you, it just was things that were happening mm-hmm. naturally. So specifically Yaz and Josie really showed of this actually becoming a thing where we're having these conversations on a larger scale, but also having fun and having comedic moments and hopefully bringing people joy with a bit of our little insanity that we call mm-hmm. a family. So I'm just grateful to be with them now.
Yeah, awesome. We always say on this podcast, or I always say, it's like we talk about the serious stuff, but we try to add, like, we eat our vegetables, but we save room for dessert. We're always going to get you both. Like, you can't just have a meal full of vegetables. Nobody wants to listen to that. I'm sorry. Nobody does. Maybe some of our nerdiest listeners, bless them, do, but you have to throw in, like, you know, some the things that you're really, like, that are weighing on your mind as young women as well, and that's, you know, a range of things.
We're just naturally not boring people. So like, why would we have a boring podcast?
Yeah. Amen. Impossible.
So on Betches Up, we talk about politics, culture, and feminism. And I know those will be prominent themes in Dare We Say. So I'm curious, what led you to becoming politically engaged or aware of any of these issues? Was it always a part of your life or something you got more into after personal experiences or something that happened in this country?
That's a really good question.
That's a wonderful question. And politics and my passion for civic engagement has always existed. But I think because it's had to. Because I'm Black and I'm an immigrant. I come from a household of immigrants. So it's kind of like that W.E.B. Du Bois saying, like, to be Black in America is to be, like, innately political. Like, everything that I do naturally is political. And I know that the girls relate in other regards of their identities about kind of needing to learn about things. And but in short, I'm really grateful. I've always kind of been keen to politics. Like, my mom loves to very embarrassingly tell everyone I was a president of my fifth grade class, and the rest has been hit. I went to college and I didn't finish because the Lord had other plans, and I ended up on a random ass set with Josie. But like I said, science. I have a really huge heart for politics. Kind of changing the world around me and working with disenfranchised and marginalized groups. But honestly, I think because growing up, I had to learn how to do it. I'll let the girls answer from their perspectives.
Yeah, it's honestly really sad to say this, but like in like eighth grade, I was like, I'm a libertarian. What that meant. I had no idea what that meant, but I was like, I'm going to be different than everyone else here. I'm a libertarian. No idea what that meant. And then my parents were like, okay, my dad actually, he's going to be like, why the fuck are you airing my grievances? But he, like, fully an Arab man from Lebanon. He was actually the president of the Republican Club in college.
Oh, my God.
And I know.
Yeah, that's so funny.
So, and my mom's like a Democrat. And so we were talking about that when I was younger, and he's always, obviously your parents make it, and the people who you surround yourself with growing up, they really make an impact on what you believe in. And I think being in theater and like kind of in that space with a lot of people in different communities kind of made me realize, what the fuck was I saying libertarian for when that has nothing to do with what I believe in? And then really for me, really was the 2016 elections. It's like everything who I am today was not allowed anymore, and especially the people I loved most. So I'm like, okay, well, I feel like people are not doing anything about it. People aren't, even the people that we elected aren't doing anything about it. A tweet's not going to save anyone. I'm sorry, sometimes getting 1,000 signatures isn't going to do anything. You need more. So why, I want to be a part of that more. So that's that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's so interesting because maybe being in eighth grade is the only appropriate time to be a libertarian.
And I'm so glad
that the girls from Dare We Say confirmed it. No, but they're, it's just so interesting that you're able to look back, and I still want to hear what you have to say, Josie, but just able to look back and be like, you know, a lot of my political identity was because I wanted to be different. And I personally feel like that's a lot of people on the far left, on the far right, that, yeah, you know, maybe don't even believe in what they're, but they just want to be different and outliers. And as more people are, you know, into their movements, they like are changing it just to be different and don't understand that this impacts people's lives. But Josie, I'm so curious to hear. I know I don't want to cut you off from
answering. Oh my God, you're so fine. I think they answered it exactly how I would in different ways. I think we've all been marginalized on this call in one way or another. And I think in our own margins, we can relate to experiencing a sense of oppression and having our identity be politicized in that way. Because I think for so many of us, our livelihoods were not political. We don't think of fighting for our rights as something that has to do with politics, right? But now that there are discussions that are being debated on Senate floors, it is politics. And I think that although in my own distinct journey, I didn't necessarily, you know, I've always sort of had a passion to obviously speak up for that. And I had a mom who was incredibly civically engaged, and she had worked and volunteered for campaigns and worked for the Arab American Institute for a very long time. It kind of really hit, I would say, all of us even more to another extent in the last 5 years. And I think that is because of the fact that our country has gotten so polarized and so divisive to a whole nother extent. And at least for me, I felt like I wanted to step up and I wanted to learn more, not only about the fight for my own causes, but my sisters and my siblings and fighting alongside them as well. And as much as I'd love to say that I've been an 100% ally and accomplice since the day I was born, it's just not true. That's something that I've had to learn and had to work towards, and I'm still working towards. And I think anyone who says that they're, you know, an 150% ally isn't an ally, because the whole point of being an ally is truly, you know, striving to become that, and striving to fight for that and fight alongside each other. So I think that would probably be my experience with that.
Yeah, that's such a like generous perspective, like for listeners, is that everybody has a starting point. Everybody's starting point is going to be in a different place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
We are facing a really important election again. I feel like they're always telling us this is the election, the most important election of our lives. And this is an election, of course, again, we're getting young people to the polls, will frankly determine how many rights people have, where they have them, how they can practice them. But a lot of young people are fed up with the establishment that's asking them once again to turn out and making promises that it turns out for whatever, you know, logistical reason, they are not able, or for whatever, you know, motivation reason, they're not able to actually deliver on. What do you think that politicians get wrong about Gen Z and your generation? What do you think they're getting wrong? What do you think it's going to take to, what do you think really will motivate young people to turn out this election? Alicia, can we start with you?
What a wonderful question. love for like politicians to affect us rather than saying things that they think humor, like, am I going to take it there? I guess I am. Like, yes. Kamala Harris, I'm tired of seeing you do TikTok trends. And black woman to black woman, I see you, sister. But like, can we actually talk about what's going on? And we see the angry tweets and we see all the anger, but then you guys aren't really holding your counterparts accountable. And I think that sometimes, or a lot of the times, politicians think that they can win our vote by like taking a flick with a celebrity that we like. And I'm really over it. And it's like, we're begging for tangible change and we're begging to be taken seriously. And I also wish that people would stop engaging in respectability politics. And that is a full conversation for another day. Cause I can only do this in this time. Because I'm tired of the niceties. I'm tired of the bureaucracy. I understand that there are all of these systems and infrastructures in place that unfortunately encourage such action. But essentially, like, also stop telling us how dramatic we're being, or like that we need to go about things in a nicer, kinder way. I'm really tired of being told that, because the state of the world is dark. It is somber, and it is like we need ridiculously drastic change, especially like when you have a week where 93% of your Republican Party is voting against contraception. Like, I think that is shit that I should be yelling and screaming and cursing about. And I'm really tired of being given sayings that are like, but we need to reach across the aisle. I agree with that as well. But to what comes the point that our anger isn't valid? Because we're talking about people's rights and communities that I'm a part of, that I'm not a part of. So yeah, I just wish that politicians like actually respected us. I don't know.
That's- so not Nancy Pelosi and a kente cloth. No more of that.
What do you mean? That was amazing.
The glasses came off.
Because when I saw everyone down on one knee with kente cloth and the fist up, I said, I'm living in a black room. I am living in a black
room. This is another Jordan Peele nightmare horror film.
Literally, Josie and I have had a personal conversation about this. I will say what I have to say, and I'll say it with my chest. I way about white people at protest with their fist up. I understand it's the way that you're showing solidarity, but I'm like, right energy, wrong execution. But yeah, I just like enacting real change. Mm-hmm. And stop telling us how we're policing our words, and rather give some of that energy across the aisle. Because
yeah,
as much as it's uncomfortable to say, they're getting their mm-hmm. agenda done. They're mm-hmm. doing it. They're doing a great mm-hmm. job, and they're not saying it nicely. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
I will shut up and let my beautiful sister and say their beautiful words, but yeah.
I just think what we're really saying here is that we do not believe words as currency anymore, and that words aren't enough, and that certain phrases are including trans lives in a speech is amazing. It's monumental, but it's not full of anything. It's not rooted in substance. And I think we need to start seeing our younger generation as people that can read in between the lines. And I think that they mm-hmm. thought for a while that they could just pacify us. And I think a part of that is emboldening our own generation to get involved and to hit the ground and protest and fight and to speak up and to not give up, because that's exactly what they want us to do. And I think we just really need to galvanize our own community and our own generation because in their win, we stay silent. In their win, we don't care anymore. So I think it's really hard. It's a really stubborn fight that we have to fight, but it's something that like has to be done. And I think a part of that is by voting, and it is by encouraging more younger people when they can to run for office, because at the end of the day, the people in there are the ones making decisions. And not to say that our voices don't matter, because they do matter. And I think that's a misconception that a lot of young people have, but like we need to be a part of the sort of game players and the chess players while we're in there. And I think that is a subversive take. Some might say you have to just break the game entirely, but I think that the only way to create change is to do it from the foundation.
Yeah, adding on to that, I mean, that was very, both you and Alicia, you guys could, we could have just ended it there. That was perfect. But I want to also add, this system is working exactly how it was built.
Mm.
This is exactly what our founding fathers wanted. For the white straight, and I hate a lot of older people roll their eyes and are like, white straight cis man, blah blah blah, but that's exactly it. They're winning because this world was built for them, but not by them. And it's so frustrating that they disregard the Gen Zs. And also, Josie, you bringing up when you mentioned trans lives in a speech or a tweet, you acknowledging this group of people is the bare minimum. Of advocacy and protecting and supporting and encouraging them. And it angers me that they just think our politicians from the left to the right to the middle just saying, sprinkling, I stand with my black friends and families, then do more. I don't give a fuck about a tweet. Say something. Where's legislation? And also, like, this whole foundation, Alicia said this to me, and I'll never forget it. It was one of our first conversations as friends, and it was very intense during the pandemic, and I was mentally unstable. But she said, I'm so tired of adding seats to the table. I'm so tired of it. I want to disrupt the table, flip it over, and I want to build it up all back up together from today. And I think we can honestly just take that right then and there. She said that to me, and my whole world was changed.
Yeah, you all just so perfectly kind of, you know, we started by saying why Gen Z and the younger generation isn't comfortable just taking those platitudes. And then you unpacked all of the reasons why that's unacceptable. And I know I can't wait to hear you talk about it more on Dare We Say. Do you have a launch date? Do you have a release date for episode one?
August 11th.
August 11th, baby, every Thursday.
It is the day. And by the way, as we said too, I mean, obviously we can get into it as hard as we can at any time, but we also just truly talk about literally everything. I mean, we have a conversation where we get into a competition of whether what's worse, diarrhea or vomiting. And it is truly profound. It is truly profound, the results of that competition. And I mean, we're always playing games and we have fun people that are going to be joining us.
Listen, if you're going to intellectualize, you're going to intellectualize everything. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. I can't wait to listen.
Yeah, I think guys do it all the time. Guys are allowed to talk about sports and go to get and whatever, and then or movies or whatever, and still have legit views on politics. It's only when, you know, women, femme people, like, share about how they enjoy shopping or getting their hair done or this and that, and we also, it's just, you know, talk about politics and stuff, that it's completely discounted or not seen as legitimate. So I say fuck it, we can talk about whatever we want. I Amen. Personally think that vomiting is worse than diarrhea.
Okay, I think vomiting is worse than I agree. I agree
never cried when I'm diarrheaing. I'm like it sucks, but when I'm vomiting, I'm like, this is the worst feeling I've ever had in my entire life.
Vomiting is truly, it is like a reverse deep throat. It is like you're crying. No. It's all the same sensations, but it's like all the worst results.
And you know what? I don't like to do that either.
Amen,
Millie. Shallow throating for me.
Wow. Amen. Okay, I'm loving this.
Well, do what you must.
We need paid. Millie, I keep telling you, you got to save this for paid episodes. We got to do paid episodes. That is the next frontier. Thank you all for joining us. We definitely have to have you back. We got to come on your show. We have to chat more. We have so much more to talk about.
You guys
got to
do the panels with us. We'd love to hear you.
We'd love
Let
to.
Let us know. Oh, we're so there.
Yeah.
Thank you all
Thank
so
you
much.
Thank you so much. Until the end of democracy, I'm Millie Tamaris.
And I'm Amanda Duvernay.
And this is the Betches Sub Podcast.
The Betches Sub Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Be sure to follow @Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send us your emails to suppod@betches.com. Betches.